Okay, well, it is 1930, the time at which the Dubious Goals Committee always begins. So, let us begin. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, and I like to drink tea. Oh, it's yummy. Oh, so good. Oh, delicious. Oh my God. Oh, I do love to drink tea. And I'm looking forward to getting into more of that a little bit later. I'm going to drink tea all day because I love drinking tea. What else am I going to do today? Well, boy, wasn't I in for a surprise last night when I was checking the TV schedule late at night. Well, actually, I was actually doing this during the day. I was checking this TV schedule during the day, and on the schedule at about 2:30 a.m., a film was going to be shown on my weird little movie channel that I have with my basic cable subscription. Channel 84 at 2:30 a.m. was airing one of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Movies. And I got really excited, only because I've never seen any of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Movies. I've seen the vast majority of the TV show. When I say the TV show, I mean the original. Not GX or any of the other series, plural. Unfortunately, it was on a little bit late last night. I was doing some other stuff, and I wanted to go to sleep a little bit early, so I scrolled forward in the schedule to see when else the film was going to be on, and sure enough, it was going to be repeated a few times. And so I'm pretty excited. I get to watch this. When does it come on? Let's just double check the time here. It was around like 5 o'clock. There we go. 4:49. 10 minutes before 5. So great. In a few hours. And that's sort of right around my downtime. My first downtime of the day. That's when I like to sit down, chill, and rest. It's around that time in the afternoon. Ah, so that'll be great. I'll sit down and I will watch Yu-Gi-Oh! Which movie is it? Yu-Gi-Oh! The Dark Side of Dimensions. Yeah. So I know what you're wondering. You're wondering, Tobe, where's Pippa? Non sequitur. We'll get back to Yu-Gi-Oh! In a minute. I don't know where Pippa is. I was running around. She was running around when I was trying to eat breakfast and stuff, and she was chasing me around and stuff. I'm talking out loud. She should be able to hear me from anywhere in the house. If she's upstairs, I'm surprised she hasn't come down here to do kitty business during the radio show, because that's what kitties like to do. So I don't know where Pippa is. But anyway, back to Yu-Gi-Oh! I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Tobe, you're into Yu-Gi-Oh? How is that possible? What's that about? What are you doing? What are you thinking? Well, it's not so much that I'm into Yu-Gi-Oh now as I used to be. How long has it been? What year was that? I kind of want to say 2006, but I can't remember. But a number of years ago, I kind of got into Yu-Gi-Oh, the game, the trading card game. And, oh, who's this? Well, what is it? What are you doing? Somebody just walked into the room and got up on the futon and is now headbutting me. You're headbutting my shoulder. Hi, what are you doing? What you doing? Do you want to do kitty stuff on the blankie? Do you want to do... As soon as I said blankie, she moves down here by the blanket. Okay. Okay, so Pippa finally shows up about 5 minutes late. You're late to the meeting. You're late. Hi. I give you kitty kisses. Okay, now get the blanket ready. Yes, getting the blanket all ready, making sure it's properly draped over my legs with at least 2 thicknesses so I don't get kitty claws. And then the kitty moves her butt. There you go. Get on the blankie. Okay, the cat is on the blanket. We have achieved normality. Yes, who's a kitty? Yes, you are. Look at your squinty face. Oh, it's so nice. So fluffy. Yeah, look, you're still super fluffy from being brushed last night. Because we had to do kitty brushies at midnight. And then at 1 a.m. And then at 2:06 a.m. It was kitty brushies every hour on the hour. Anyway. Yu-Gi-Oh! I started watching the TV show. You know, this was back when collectible card games, trading card games, were all the rage. They still are, but, you know, this is sort of when they were peaking. And I didn't have cable TV or anything, but I did have a TV with an antenna, and one of the over-the-air stations did play the Yu-Gi-Oh! Show. And between seeing that, because I really like cartoons, I like animation, between seeing that and, you know, seeing the cards themselves and stuff in game stores, I thought, maybe I should finally check this out. Because I'd never really, although I was familiar with collectible card games, trading card games, I never really got into any just because the subject matter was boring to me. I thought Magic the Gathering was kind of, And the truth of the matter is there's a stigma behind that game. You don't want to be involved with those people at all. Pokemon was a little bit too dorky for me. Yeah, and although it was cute, you know, it's like, yeah, no. I don't think I really want to play this. And so I kind of got into Yu-Gi-Oh! Just because, you know, it wasn't kawaii, it was kawaii. It was scary. You know, the monsters in Pokemon, remember, the mon in Pokemon means monster. The monsters in Pokemon are cute. But the monsters in Yu-Gi-Oh! Are scary. And so I bought some starter decks. And as I was reading the rules and stuff, I started realizing that this game is just full of holes. These open-ended games are, they're not good. They're not thought through well. But it doesn't matter. So I started playing the game, started buying extra cards and stuff. And then eventually realized that, okay, this is a game that, well, how do I put this without sounding like an egomaniacal idiot? I realized that the game was something that I was pretty good at. And so I started playing it a lot. And after about, I don't know, it wasn't very long, not even a month, I started to wonder if I could play the game professionally. And this was in early spring. I remember it was around my birthday. It was in March. And I decided, you know, I think I'm going to try to take this to a weird level. Now, I bet you're wondering, how do you play a card game professionally? Who's going to pay you to play on a team for card games? That doesn't make any sense. No, it doesn't work that way. When I say, I wonder if I can play this professionally, I mean that in the golf sense or the other individualized sports sense where you're not being paid to play on a team like a professional football player or a professional basketball player. You got to look at it like a golfer. Golfers don't get paid by a team. They get paid by winning contests. They, you know, there's prize money involved here, right? And that's the thing with Yu-Gi-Oh! And, well, Pokemon, and a lot of trading card games for that matter. When you enter a contest, a tournament, there, if it's a big tournament, there will be money involved. But if it's a small tournament, the prizes end up being more cards. And so you end up playing for cards. Now, the funny thing is, these cards are always rare cards that are rare and powerful, and you can't ever get them anywhere else. And a lot of, you know, local contests are actually sponsored by the trading card company. And so they're sending out prize packs to people to, you know, do a tournament, give this away as prizes. And so you end up with cards that are pretty valuable. Now, the funny thing is, when it comes to these trading card games, there is a secondary market, meaning you can buy used Yu-Gi-Oh cards. You can buy used Magic the Gathering cards, Pokemon cards, all these cards. And since there's a market, that means that any card that you win or any card that you own is actually excuse me. Yeah. That's kind of choking there for a minute. That means that these cards are now bearer instruments. And you know how much I love bearer instruments. And tea. So it turns out, because of this market and the rarity of the cards, you can play these games professionally, meaning if you win these cards that are worth money. They are not money, but you can turn right around, and at the same place where you just won that card, you can sell that card. You can either sell that card to another player, or you can sell the card to the store that you're standing in playing your game. Now, if you sell it to the store, you're going to sell it to them at half the value, but still. You know, if you win some small tournament and you end up getting like two cards that are worth about, you know, $30 or $40 each, you're going to get $15 or $20 for it. So let's say you have one of each, you end up selling it back to the store. You know, you made $35 for, you know, playing a card game for how long? Yeah, therein lies the rub. So what I did was, I always say it was the summer. I played Yu-Gi-Oh! Professionally for the summer. It was actually longer than that. It was spring into the summer and well into fall. Because that's when all the comic book stores and all the hobby shops were having Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournaments. And there was Yu-Gi-Oh! Tournaments twice a week, you know, within a couple miles of my apartment. And, you know, bigger ones on Saturdays and blah, blah, blah. And so for an entire 6 months or maybe 5 month period, I kept really good records of my play and how much I would win and all that stuff. Because I was thinking, maybe I'll quit my job and become a professional Yu-Gi-Oh! Player. Well, I could have done that, but the truth of the matter is, even though I did make money at this, it wasn't enough money, because after I sat down and figured it out, actually, I kept running totals, but as I was sort of figuring this out, I never really made more than about $5 an hour. That was the problem. It took a little bit too long to play these games to make it worthwhile, considering I had a job at the time that paid, what, like $13 or $14 an hour. How much did I get paid in that job? I don't remember. I don't know. It wasn't a great amount of money, but, you know, it was decent. But, yeah, unfortunately, it would take so long to play the games that, you know, I'd be at a comic book store for 6 hours on a Saturday afternoon. And, you know, the most I would make would be, you know, about $30. And it's like, oh, it's not quite enough. And evening tournaments would sometimes be better, but often the prizes weren't quite as good. And so, you know, you'd play for 2 hours on a Wednesday night or whatever. And, you know, only come home with, you know, $5 or $6. You know, you'd win a card that's only worth like $10 or $15 by the time you sell it. It's not quite worth the time. And for a while, I was sort of thinking, yeah, this would be kind of be doable if there was more, if there was more games, if there was more tournaments going on. But yeah, no, it really wouldn't have worked out. In the best case scenario, I figured, you know, if I lived somewhere in some big city that really loved this crap and blah, 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 I had lots of comic book stores and gaming stores where there was lots of tournaments going on. And I figured, you know, maybe the best I'd ever be able to do would be like minimum wage. So that really wasn't working out. And there weren't, at the time, there weren't enough really, really large, like, world-sized tournaments that have, you know, big prize money, you know, like $50,000 to win, you know, the international championship. Now, that would be worth it, but, you know, you got more competition there. And then you have a greater expense because then you got to travel to places. And so even though it's $50,000, once you include all the travel and the lodging and the food and all that, you know, that starts getting knocked down. So, you know, eventually I pretty much learned that playing trading card games was not quite profitable enough to go professional. Boo. Boo. I almost became a professional gamer there. That was kind of funny. And so, you know, nowadays, I think back to that time when I think, wasn't that fun? And when my little cousins, who are not little anymore, when they were playing Yu-Gi-Oh!, I would give them lots of Yu-Gi-Oh! Cards and stuff, really rare stuff, crazy stuff. They would wig out and crush their opponents. With my deadly strategies. Anywho. I would still like to be a professional gamer. But the only way you can do that these days is if you're a vidiot. And I do not play video games. They don't do anything for me. It's like, oh, who can push the button the fastest? Yeah, or who can eat the dots and get chased by the ghosts the most? Oh, who can memorize the pattern? No thanks. It's not for me. But that's why I'm going to be watching the Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie later today. Just for nostalgic reasons. And I will watch Yugi. And I'm trying to think of the American names for the characters. I used to read the magazine that Yu-Gi-Oh! The comic was in, and so I'm accustomed to their Japanese names. Anzu. I'm hot for Anzu. but in America, she's Taya Gardner. Something stupid like that. Anyway. So it's Yu-Gi-Oh! Day for me. Hooray! Maybe I'll go upstairs in my get out some of my old Yu-Gi-Oh cards, because I still have tons of Yu-Gi-Oh stuff. And I even got some dorky collector fanboy crap, because sometimes you'd play in a tournament or something, and they wouldn't be giving out cards as prizes. They would give you little figures. And so I've got a couple of, like, Yu-Gi-Oh figures that you can't sell. You can't get rid of them. It's like, I think I eventually gave some of those to my friend's kid or something, but I still have a lot of that crap laying around. It was an interesting time. It was fun. I look back on my professional attempt at playing Yu-Gi-Oh very fondly. It was a hoot. My girlfriend at the time, she thought it was weird at first. She knew that I was into games, and I tried to get her to play stuff, but she didn't quite have the, I don't want to say mind for it, but she was sort of timid and not the type of person, you know. We'd be like playing like some kind of combat game, and her first move, instead of like going to attack me, would be to run away. She would just immediately start running, and it's like, sweetie, That's not fun. Well, you're just gonna kill me anyway. You know, just, well, yeah, but you need to try to kill me too. And so she didn't quite get it at first, but after in the beginning, she would want to watch me do this, and so she would hang out. And, you know, that was always weird because, you know, everybody's like, oh, my God, there's a girl here in the comic book store. Oh, my God. All the stereotypes of girls going into comic book stores are absolutely true. But the funny thing is this is also kind of when the Harry Potter movies were still coming out. And this was only, I don't know, the third or fourth book was only out. And, you know, so people were into Harry Potter. And because there's, you know, trading card games were such a huge fad, it turns out that they made a Harry Potter trading card game. And so one day or night, we were at a bookstore, and I saw it on the shelves. And I was like, oh, hey, check this out. And she's like, oh my gosh, blah, 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 blah. And she loved Harry Potter. She loved the Harry Potter stuff so much, she thought, you know, I think I'm going to buy this to see what this is all about. Will you teach me how to play it? And I'm like, sure, it's easy, blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, we actually started playing the Harry Potter trading card game. And she was actually pretty good at it. She wouldn't run away. You can't run away in a trading card game, but she was actually pretty good, and she would always want to beat me. And she would win, you know, good half the time. She got into it, started buying, you know, booster packs of cards and stuff. And then at one point in time, I'll never forget this, because I laughed my ass off. One Saturday, I woke up, and when we were eating breakfast and doing stuff, and she just sort of casually goes, I think I want to go to the Dragon's Lair today. The Dragon's Lair being, you know, one of our most famous game and comic book stores here in Omaha. I just laughed because I used to take her to the Dragon's Lair all the time. And she would stand around going, oh, this is so dumb. This is so boring. And now she wanted to go to the Dragon's Lair so she could buy more Harry Potter trading card game cards and battle it out with me. And so she finally sort of came to the understanding. She's like, okay, I get it now. Trading card games are fun. And then she sort of tried to learn how to play Yu-Gi-Oh, which is a little bit more complex than the Harry Potter game. And she kind of liked it too, but didn't quite get into it as much just because of the complexity and a lot of other sort of little problems. Not being familiar with the source. She thought she needed to be familiar with the Yu-Gi-Oh! To really get into the card game. I said, no, that's not really true. It's more about knowing what the cards are. than anything else. But no, she sort of preferred to play Harry Potter, which was fine with me. It wasn't a terrible game. I thought it was a little bit easy, a little bit simple, but a little bit simplified for my tastes, but still, it worked as good as any other trading card game, which was to say, you know, kind of, not a very elegant game, but it was playable, it worked. And we had quite the rivalry going on there, so here we are today, blank years later, and I still haven't designed my own trading card game. I've thought about it a bunch of times, and I've thought up some interesting mechanics time to time, but trading card games are mostly dependent on what we refer to in the industry as fluff. Trading card game is all about fluff. And at my age, I don't feel like writing fluff anymore. I'd just rather write the game mechanic, because that's the part that I'm interested in. I don't want to make up stories about elves and dragons and hobbits and shit. We've already had plenty of that. And my voice is starting to go. Oh my god, we still got 3 minutes left. So, I don't know. Maybe eventually I'll create a trading card game. An SDF game would always be fun in my mind. I always think that would be funny, but that's a weird inside joke that very few people would get. And I saw on the bulletin board, on B-Board lately, that people are talking about, oh, let's write a game in Commodore Basic, if you want. Oh, we should make a MUD. We should make an MMMO per RPG, a Mega Morphopatchik. No, we should do Hunt the Wumpus. No, we shouldn't. We've already got it on SDF. It's called Hunt the Barnacle. Just type Barnacle at the prompt, and you too can hunt MJT online. If SDF has a game, if somebody's going to write a game on SDF, if there's going to be a group collaboration for a game, I think the subject of the game itself should be SDF. I think that would be funnier than hell. You know, it'd kind of be like Telehack or something like that, except a little bit dumber, a little bit more insular, a little bit more screwy, as is appropriate for this wonderful and nostalgic and hilarious and awesome public Unix service that we all love. I could think of all kinds of funny things to do. SDF, the game. It has so much potential. So much potential. As long as I get to be a non-player character, or at least what I mean to say is, as long as there is a non-player character that is Tobe that you will occasionally run into in strange places, who will tell you weird secrets and otherwise useless information. Kind of like how I'm doing now. Who am I, you might ask? Well, my name is Tobe. I am the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day at 1930 UTC right here on Anon Radio. I got to get out of here. I got something to do. What was I supposed to do today? I got to eat, I got to drink, and then I got to watch my Yu-Gi-Oh! So, bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
Do you love it? What do you love it? Do you love it? What 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 do you love it?